Hey everybody, welcome to the Guide Culture Podcast. I'm really excited to introduce a special guest on today's episode. About a year ago, I did an Instagram story and I asked if anybody had worked with any copywriters. I was writing a bunch and I really just wanted someone to kind of look over everything and make sure it looked right and the messaging was right. And someone sent me Danielle's information. She just said, hey, she's not on Instagram, but here's her email address. And if you are listening to this episode and you are the one that sent me that message, will you please message me again on Instagram so I can thank you? Because I did email her. I had a discovery call with her. And I, like I said, I intentionally wanted to use her just to look over some stuff that I had been writing. And our relationship turned into so much more than just a copywriting kind of coach situation. She has been working with us for about 7 months now. And she really is a part of the Guide Culture team. She kind of calls herself or has been known to be the secret weapon. And that is until now, because more people definitely need some of Danielle in their life. She's been copywriting since 2006, and she's worked with 6, 7, and 8-figure online entrepreneurs like Ryan Levesque, Todd Herman, Josh Turner, and Selena Sue, and so many more. She's a well-kept industry secret, like I said, until now. Her elegant and narrative driven and conversion focused copy has brought in tens of millions of sales for her clients, which is why she's otherwise known as the launch expert. Danielle also coaches business owners to write their own effective copy, nurturing in their confidence, creativity, and productivity with her one-on-one coaching, Copy Lab membership program, and self-paced courses. You can find her on her Facebook, LinkedIn, and also a newsletter at dwcopy.com/GC, and all of this is going to be linked in the show notes for you. I can't wait for you to be able to learn from her, and hopefully maybe if you are interested in kind of working further with her, you should definitely reach out to her. She is incredible. Hope you enjoy. Well, hello, Miss Danielle.
Hey.
Welcome to the Guide Culture Podcast. We feel honestly, just I've been so excited all day to interview you because you really are a part of the Guide Culture team and the Guide Culture family. And I cannot wait to share you.
Well, it's official now. I'm in Slack.
Listen, we've been trying to get Danielle's phone number. It's been a little hard. She lives in Israel, so that's a little tough. But we're one step closer because we're in Slack together. We just love her so much. We want as much communication as possible.
All right, let's do this.
Well, Danielle, I would love to just start out just for you to tell a little bit of your story, how you kind of ended up where you are, what you do, and how you serve people.
Okay. So I grew up in Florida, Boca Raton, Florida. I went to college in New York University, and I majored in English literature and creative writing. So I have always been a reader and a writer, and I fell into copywriting kind of by accident. I had a mentor who, you know, sort of showed me the ropes and taught me, you know, everything he knew. And then I got hooked on it. I'm like, this is great. And then I moved to Israel 12 years ago. So got married. My husband, grew up here. We have 4 kids and we live just outside of Haifa in a nice little town. And I love it. It's great. I have the ability to do something that I love and live where I want.
So awesome. So you help people. Like, I feel like, okay, so we started using Danielle when we were really kind of getting into launch. I found you, I feel like by accident. You're not on Instagram, but someone recommended you on Instagram. And so we got on a discovery call and I really wanted your help with a launch, right? That's how it started, writing email sequences, getting a webinar script just right. But it was very quick and very clear to see that you are so much more than a launch and copywriting coach. And I know that that's really what you do primarily, but you have such a depth of knowledge in so many other areas by helping so many really high level entrepreneurs kind of get their message across in a written format. So tell us a little bit more about just like specifically what you would say your kind of expertise is.
So I've actually been affectionately nicknamed the world's greatest launch copywriter because I've written, I think, 9 or 10 seven-figure launches to date just in the past couple of years for people like Ryan Levesque, Todd Herman, Selena Hsu, Josh Turner, Marisa Murgatroyd, and others. And I'm actually in the middle of writing a launch right now. So it is busy times over here. And that's kind of what I have been known for, but I actually do copywriting in all different areas. So just because I've been doing this for so long, you sort of get to see behind the scenes of people's businesses and you just pick up stuff along the way. So right now, I'm really loving being a copy coach for business owners who want to sort of own the narrative of their business and the words in their business. And I think, you know, that's how we got connected, because what I had been doing was doing a lot of done for you. So I'll come in and I will just write all the words for you. And what's so great about what I'm doing now is that I get to work with business owners to really improve their copy skills. And again, take back the control of the words in their business, which is so important.
Yeah, because honestly, you've coached us, you've taught myself, Kat, and now Natalie. And honestly, Danielle, it wasn't but a few months ago, we didn't even know what copy was. Honestly, we had no idea. So, and I feel like there might be some people listening to this podcast and they're not really 100% sure what copy is and why it's important. And so why don't you kind of answer what, or how would you describe what copy is and how it affects people's businesses?
Sure. So copywriting, not R-I-G-H-T, W-R, writing, is writing words that sell in your business. It's creating words that sell. And the process of taking someone from where they are right now to getting them to take out their credit card and getting them to buy. And there's kind of two types of copywriting. There's brand awareness copywriting. That's kind of the stuff you see on billboards and in commercials, cute little taglines. And then there's direct response copy, which is a lot more focused on taking people through an immediate buying process and getting them to take an immediate action at the end. And so that is what I specialize in. That's what you're likely doing in your business right now is direct response.
Danielle, I have a question. So we have a lot of entrepreneurs who are growing their business on social media, maybe through, you know, Facebook posts, Facebook groups, Instagram posts, etc. Is direct response copywriting what maybe they want to be doing to get those responses in comments and things like that?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Any words that you put out for your business is copy. You are writing copy. You put up a post, you're thinking about what message do I want to put out there? What words am I using? Am I emphasizing benefits? What emotion am I creating in the people reading this? All of that is copy.
That's amazing. And it really helps them, the reader, feel like you're in their head.
Yes, that is exactly right.
So if you're out there and you're getting messages saying, how are you in my head? Then you know you're onto something. And on the flip side, if people aren't responding with those kind of words, maybe you know you're not speaking to the right person.
Not necessarily. Because for every one response you get, there are probably 10 people who are thinking the same thing but haven't responded. And at the end of the day, if you think about your entire audience, for every post you put out there, every email you send, a certain percentage will open, and then another certain percentage of those will click, and then only a certain percentage of those will buy. So in the direct response world, let's say a 3-5% conversion rate on a sales page or a funnel is considered amazing. So at the end of the day, it really is only a small percentage of the people that you need to reach in order to get the amount of buyers that you want.
So you would, because what I feel like I'm kind of learning, the more I'm learning from you, Danielle, the more I'm like, okay, copy is really an awesome way to market. And I know there's sales elements in copy, but it's a way to be like, hey, I know what you're dealing with. In fact, I can like speak on the problems that maybe you don't even know that you have, or you don't even know that you're kind of going through. And then here is a solution that could really they could really serve you in a big way, which then in turn, hopefully, like you said, gets them to either click, read more, or message you and book a discovery call, which then becomes kind of like a sales situation, getting them into the decision. Can you just kind of speak on that, on really creating copy in a way that makes people be like, man, like, they are literally in my head right now. Do you have any tips for people that really want to do that well?
So I do, but first I want to go back and just clarify something, because I really don't think that there's a difference between copy and sales. Copy is a written word or a spoken word that you've crafted that is a sales message. Right. So it's all part of the same process, which is why when we were having our conversations and you'd be like, you're guide culturing me again. And I'm like, I guess I am, because taking someone through that process of, you know, acknowledging their problem or their core desires and emotions is where you always have to start. And you have to know inside and out, deep down, what your target audience wants more than anything, and not just what they say they want, but what they really want. And then from there, you have to show them what's possible.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right, which is 100% sales. And what's so cool is you are the one that told us about the, hey, when you're like inside the bottle of your own business, you can't really see what other people are seeing. And yeah, you're right. You would guide culture us so much and ask us the same questions that we ask our students. And it's been so valuable to have someone kind of on the outside look into us and really help us question everything, which is one of the best things that we've ever done, is really question what we do. And you have some really good, hard questions, which we're just so thankful for.
Well, you're welcome. So to go back to the original question around how do you get inside your target audience's head? And we did this recently, actually. We sent out, this is something that I learned from a client of mine, Ryan Levesque, which is to send out a deep dive survey where you essentially ask, you just ask them what the biggest thing that they're struggling with right now, the number one problem or challenge that they're struggling with. And you have to be specific about it. When it comes to blank, what is your number one challenge? And you have people just pour their hearts out. They will write, you know, whole novels to you and tell you exactly what their problems are. And then from there, you want to either get on the phone with those people and dig a little bit deeper and just grab that language and use that language in your copy. So if you're not sure what those problems are, what those pain points are, the best thing to do is just ask.
Yeah, that was the one thing. That was the first thing you had me do, which was super valuable. I think I bought that book and read it, and it was awesome. What would you say to the person who's like, hey, I ask what people's problems are all the time and they don't respond? What would you say to that person?
So what you need is, are you talking to the right audience? Like, do you have a match between what you're offering and you know, what you want to help people with and who you're talking to? So that, if that's happening, it might be a question of the way that you're engaging people. And it may just be that you're not in front of the right audience.
Yeah, 100%. Do you have any kind of tips for them to be able to get in front of the right audience and some ways to use words in order to do that better?
Well, I mean, that's, you know, we could talk about how to build an email list and you know, build an audience for a whole hour, right?
But yeah,
but basically, it's just making connections with people, you know, trying to, first of all, get really clear on who you want to serve and find out where they are online. What Facebook groups are they in? Where are they on Instagram? Where are they hanging out? And then provide value to them. And then from there, you'll become top of mind. And then from there, you can bring them into your world.
Yeah, it's definitely a long game vibe, don't you think, Danielle?
100%. And if you talk about, you know, I know you guys are, you laugh at me because I don't have an Instagram one of these days.
I actually love that you don't have an Instagram, Danielle. Be proud of it.
Okay, fair enough. But I mean, I guess it's a little bit old school because you guys, you know, on Instagram and social media posting, and I am a firm believer in the power of email.
Mm.
When I got started, I wrote 3 emails a week for the same, selling the same product for 5 years.
Oh, wow.
That is, I think, 780 emails in case you are counting.
Wow.
So doing that many emails per week, you just have to get really creative about framing things in a new way.
Which is like basically what writing emails is all about. Let's talk, let's go into email list and building email list and really nurturing email list. That's incredible. I did not know that you did that, wrote 3 emails a week selling one product. There's no telling the perspectives that you had to take to be able to do that. Tell us why you believe so deeply in the power of email and what people can do to really get better at it.
Well, I mean, I'm not the only one. There are the marketers, you know, things pop up once in a while and say, oh, email is dead. And they're generally flashing the new shiny object. And
sure.
Email's not going anywhere. Especially because when you have an email list, that is an asset that you own, right?
Mm-hmm.
So social media is great, but email is still the best way to get people's attention most of the time. And what you can do with email that you can't necessarily do on social media because you're sort of a slave to the algorithm is you can do a lot of segmentation. So you can make sure that the people on your list are getting exactly the right emails and messages tailored to them. So this is, you know, when you have a much bigger list, you can segment them and customize them based on what their core problems are, based on what products they've bought. And it's just something that you can't really do on social media.
Yeah.
And it allows you to be a lot more targeted with your messaging.
Yeah. I mean, you can segment an email list till you're blue in the face. It's crazy how much you can do. And I feel like we're still trying to like wrap our brains around the power of that. You know, we have our guide culture students, they usually have an email list, and I think that they might struggle with nurturing it or really being consistent in nurturing it. And I feel like you were the one that really like casted the vision for us of like, hey, this is like really a non-negotiable to not nurture your people and to add value. What would you say to the people who are kind of struggling to nurture their list and maybe don't even know what that really means?
So what I would say is start with something that you can do. Start with something that's realistic. And let's say, okay, I'm going to send my list an email once a week and commit to sending something once a week. And the thing with email is that it doesn't have to be hard, right? It's all about building a relationship. There's actually, you know, a real formula to it, just like anything with copywriting, there's a formula. And it begins with telling a story, getting their attention, tying that story back to one big takeaway that you want them to have, and then a call to action. And so we've been working a lot, you know, when we were working on email, and I'm now working with Natalie on email about really getting clear on what that one point is.
Mm-hmm.
And because people are busy, right? So if you can start off with something that happened to you, you can create an email about anything.
Right.
So I did an exercise once with a workshop that I ran where I wrote a lot of random words on little slips of paper and put them in a baggie and had people pick out. Everything was different. There was like the Beatles, Cher, deep sea diving, avocados. So it was all kinds of random stuff, and everybody got their own word, and they had 20 minutes to write an email. And at the end of those 20 minutes, you would not believe the amazing copy that came out of this exercise. They were so good, so good. And I think it's because when you have a constraint, both on time and what you can write about, that paradoxically often really opens up your creativity. So I have that exercise and 2 other exercises to kind of help you get ideas for writing email in a gift that you guys can go download.
Perfect.
So I will make sure that you have the link for that.
Yep. Perfect.
And you can go get that for free.
So you're saying like really you could do that for yourself. You could make a bunch of pieces of paper with random stuff on it and pick it out of the bag and write email in a certain amount of time.
You absolutely could do that. Email about anything. Look at what's on your desk right now. Look at what's on your wall. Open a book to a random page and find a word or a phrase and just set a timer for 20 minutes and see what happens. As long as you're following the formula of hook, story, lesson, call to action.
Wow. You make it sound so easy, Danielle.
Well,
you know, something that we're learning and that keeps coming around that's making me think of this is if someone's listening to this and they're saying, well, that doesn't feel easy to me, that actually feels confusing. The root really is knowing your offer and believing in it so deeply that you yes. see it everywhere. You see the answer everywhere. And just if anyone's listening to that and you think that's weird, I think that's where you go back to, is where you believe your offer is the answer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that right, Danielle?
Yeah, absolutely. And that is kind of, think about it as a bridge, right? Someone reading your email or reading your post is starting on one side of the bridge, and your job is to get them across.
That's good.
Your job is to get them to the other side, and you know what the other side is. So you know how to build that bridge for them. And you can start anywhere. You can start anywhere, meet them where they are, get their attention, get them in. And again, if you know your offer, it's really just a matter of connecting everything back to that.
Wow.
That's amazing.
That is amazing.
So with that said, it is all the opportunity there is with writing. What are some of the common mistakes you see people making when they're doing their own copywriting, and how they can improve that?
Okay. So, I mean, a couple of things. The first big one I see is people forgetting benefits, right? Mm. So for every, you know, feature that you mention, everything you say needs to be focused around what's in it for me. Mm. What is the benefit to the person reading this? So if you're talking about your offer, for example, so you may be offering live group coaching calls as part of your offer. And you might say on the page, well, you'll get, you know, 5 live coaching calls, and people will just stop there. And instead of stopping there, you want to, even if it feels repetitive, you want to say 5 live coaching calls so you can get all your questions answered and absorb the material and.
Because it's just not obvious to them. It's just needs to be said.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And even if it feels like, that's obvious, it's not. It's not always. Another common mistake that I see people making is they kind of get too much into their ideal client's head, and they'll start off with something like, you know that, or you're feeling that. And I always want to stop, because what that does is it feels a little bit invasive. Like, how dare you know what I'm thinking?
Mm.
And then that gets people defensive, and they're already defensive as they're reading your copy, your email, your sales page, whatever. So the simple way around that is always to leave what I call an escape hatch and say, you might be feeling, you may wonder, you're probably struggling with. So that if it's not them, then that's okay. And they can get out of it. Exactly.
My other favorite thing that you used to call us on is telling people that they need to do something.
Yes, exactly. So there's, and you guys teach this in guide culture, right? It's about letting someone realize for themselves that that's what they need.
Yes.
So people don't feel like they've been beaten over the head or, dragged or tricked into something. It's a realization that they come to on their own because you have laid out a narrative and an offer that makes sense and is irresistible.
Wow, man, that's so good. Another kind of mistake that's not necessarily copy specific related, but something that you've really helped me open my brain with, and I see this as kind of a problem with our students too. You know, when you're in like the knowledge industry, which is really what we do, right? We have knowledge about sales, and then we teach people our knowledge about sales. And you're kind of like creating content, and you know, there's only so much that you can create at once, right? You just will get so exhausted and you'll get burnt out and your stuff won't be as quality. And you really taught me like, hey, Macy, what you create, it's an asset. And it's something that you can reuse and repurpose in different ways that are going to reach more people. And I think a lot of people have a hard time kind of people might feel guilty or feel like they're just repeating themselves in a lot of different ways. And you just you helped me see like, hey, that's just not true. Like people need to hear it different ways. And I would love for you to speak to those people right now who are like, I'm trying to create all the things and it's very hard to create all the things in a way that are really high quality.
Yeah. So first of all, you don't have to create all the things. You know all the things that you're putting out, you're in your brand. It's the same thing of you can't see the label from inside the bottle, right? Mm-hmm. People, your audience is out there is not, they're not following every single post you make in every single email. They are busy. And so you might have your super fans who do that and that's cool. And they probably won't care that you say the same thing twice, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're not going to come after you for it. And if they do, then it's like, well, I have other people out there who needed to hear this again because it's flying by and it's too important not to say it again. Mm-hmm. So you should really feel actually good about the fact that you take your core lessons and frame them in different ways, put a new story on it, put a new, you know, twist on it. But ultimately, you want to come back to the same core principles. Mm-hmm. Because that's when they'll sink in.
Right. People need it to be repeated more than anything.
They absolutely do need it more than anything. Think about a classroom, right? Does the teacher teach things once and then never mention it again?
No.
There's a lesson. There's a review. There's a quiz before the test. There's studying for the test. And then there's the test.
Yeah. Yeah. So you should feel, and you know, like a really tangible way, I think that you, like, for example, with a podcast, you can repurpose one point of the podcast in an email with maybe even a different story, same point, same message. And then really, if you have 3 points in a podcast, that's 3 emails.
That so is 3 emails. And we actually had this recently with an email that Natty put together and we looked at it. I'm like, there's too much in this email.
Yeah.
There's too much going on and it's tempting, right? It's, we know so much and we want to share that with our audience. And that is a good thing. Mm-hmm. But you've got to meet people where they are and what you say will have more of an impact if you're making one core point and driving that home in an email.
Yeah.
So for a webinar and for, you know, a sales training and something like that, it's different. You can give people more content, but in email, I really feel strongly about having that one core point.
You always want to over deliver. So that's like the tension there. You want, you know, people to open your email and that it was worth their time. And that's actually the very reason you should simplify it.
Exactly. Because when they walk away, are they going to have, okay, it was a list of 10 things. Are they going to walk away with all of them in their head? Probably not. But if you made one point and you made it really well, that's going to stick. And that will actually have more of an impact.
So good.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. So what do people do? Like, where do they start to get better at this? Or to maybe they feel like their posts on Instagram, their emails, they just fall flat. What can they start doing today that helps them be juicy copywriters themselves?
So, I mean, the number one thing that I would say is the fastest way is to get a mentor.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's the fastest way to do anything, right? Is to find someone who is an expert and learn from them. But I know that's not where everyone is right now. So what you can do is a version of that, which is just read a lot of good copy.
Mm.
So, you know, start putting your radar out for things that resonate with you, things that got your attention, emails that got your attention and got you to open, or you read it and it's like, wow, that was good. Save those, put those, you know, create a file somewhere and hoover them down is what on my team we call it, just hoovering it down and saving that stuff and reading it and create your own kind of mini file. Because another thing that I like to say is you never have to write from scratch. You can always start somewhere, give yourself a starting point or for something that's good and model that in your own work. Not plagiarize. That is not what we're talking about at all. It's giving yourself a jumping off point to adapt something that you know is good and adapt it to your business.
And I feel like what that really takes is to be thinking critically about what you're reading, not just looking at someone else's writing and thinking, oh, well, they're gifted.
Right.
Because it really is a skill that can be grown, right?
Yes.
It is absolutely a skill. And the thing to remember about copywriting is that people tend to associate writing with being creative. And while there is an element of creativity, what's cool about copywriting is that it is all about structure. There's an underlying structure to it. Everything has a structure. And if you can see that structure, the analogy I like to use is if you're painting, right? You're probably an artist doing a painting. You're probably going to do a pencil sketch first before you start slapping paint on a canvas.
Right.
So the paint and the color is the creativity. That's what you put on it. But underneath, there is an outline. There's a structure to it.
Gosh,
so
I feel like
the more you know what those structures are, right?
Yeah.
The more you can play with them.
That's going to give people so much freedom to just know that, hey, you don't have to have a because you feel like you're just born with creativity or you're not. And so to know that there is actually a science behind it that can be learned, that's going to give people so much freedom. And yeah, I mean, I feel like that when we started first working together, Danielle, I feel like it took me forever to write. It just took me a long time to understand the structure and to understand what I was doing. And day by day, slowly but surely, I could feel myself getting faster. I could feel myself getting like catching on a little bit better. And there is nothing that feels better than just knowing like, hey, you can learn whatever you want to know. You can learn. And I will say having a mentor in copy has been it has been game changing for the whole team, just like having Danielle in our corner. And Danielle, I will say like my hesitation when I first started looking for some help with copy, my hesitation was like, this person isn't going to know my business. They don't get it. They don't know what I do. They don't get what we do. We're different. We're special, which I know everybody feels that way about their business. And now I know like, you know, you can really kind of add someone almost to your team to help them learn. What would you tell somebody who's like really struggling with that, with kind of being open-handed with help to somebody who really doesn't feel like that they get and understand them?
So first of all, and if you're bringing on the right person, that person, their first job is to understand your business and what you do and who you serve and what makes you unique. Any copywriter or coach or mentor worth their salt will ask you that first thing. Be like, mm-hmm. What makes Guide Culture different than right. anything else out there? And so in terms of bringing someone on to help you with that, it's just like any other skill, right? It's just like any other skill that you want to learn. You bring in someone with that skill to help you get where you need to go.
Yeah. So if they are looking for somebody to help them, what are some things that they could look for to know that they're hiring the right mentor?
So there's, I want to distinguish here between hiring a copywriter to write something for you and hiring someone to help you with that skill, because I've done both and there is some overlap. But it really depends on where you are in your business. And a mistake that I see a lot of business owners make is they outsource too fast.
Oh, wow.
So they outsource a copywriter to write for them before they're clear themselves on what the core messages are of their business. And that's something, because it is a good point, you know your business better than anyone else. And it's almost, and this is a bit, goes against the conventional wisdom, right? Because it's always like, oh, I'm going to hire a copywriter and they'll do it for me and it'll be magic. And usually it works better if you're co-creating that together and you know what good copy looks like for your business first before you outsource. Mm. So I recommend working with someone to sort of get on the same page first, practice yourself, practice writing. There's kind of no shortcut, even if it's not something that you want to do in your business forever. I don't want to be the copywriter in my business forever and ever. That is okay. But to want to hand it off to someone too soon, you'll have that gap. Something will get lost in translation sometimes.
Yeah, which could be really detrimental, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's so good. Wow, Danielle, you are just like the queen. And I'm going to be honest, you know, we have, you know, worked with lots of people and it's hard. It's really hard to find people who are just going to like really spend time with you and come alongside of you. That's what it has felt like, is that you've really come alongside us. And it's just, I'm just so thankful to have found you. And I just am so thankful for all of your experience and just your investment in us as a team. It really feels like you want for your clients, like what you want for yourself. That's what it feels like. And I just could not recommend you enough, Danielle. So I don't really know what you're offering right now. Do you have anything that people can buy into to work with you in some way?
Yes. So I'm actually, so there's a couple things in the works right now. There's a 60-minute sales page workshop that's coming out. So if you are writing your first sales page, that is going to walk you through basically the four key pillars of your launch of your sales page narrative, which will just make the rest of the page so much easier to write. So that is coming soon. There is, of course, working with me one-on-one if you're ready to really move fast like we've done. Mm-hmm. And by the way, working with you guys, how long has it been? 6 months? More than that. It's been such an amazing journey. Aww. And I am just amazed at how quickly you guys get stuff done. It's so much fun to really work with people who get it and who aren't Aww. Afraid to move and implement and do and try and like, let's do it. So
Aww. Thanks, Danielle.
It's such a pleasure.
I want to make you proud.
So proud.
Yeah. And I think also having a mentor, like that's a huge element of just that level of accountability. It's like, oh gosh, there's a call with Danielle tomorrow and I need to have something ready for her. Mm-hmm. And there's some power in that.
Oh, for sure. And the other thing is not being afraid to invest.
Oh yeah.
Right. I know, and you know this, if I want something done in my business, I am going to pay for it.
Oh yeah.
Right. If I, you know, want to create this, okay, I'm going to pay to get it done. Because even though that's like, ooh, okay, it's a little painful in the moment, you've got skin in the game.
Oh, yeah.
You're accountable. You can't make excuses to yourself to get out of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You know, we bring in the people we need to get stuff done. We don't mess around. There's so much power in, you're right, investing. It's a huge deal.
Mm-hmm. It's a positive thing, even.
Oh, yeah. It's game-changing for sure. Well, Kat, do you have any other last minute questions for Danielle?
You know, something that our listeners wanted to know is just as they look into hiring copywriters, maybe hiring a copywriting coach, what are some prices that they can consider to work with people who are experts who can move their business forward?
Ooh, pricing. That is, there's really a range, right? What I will say is that good copy does not cost money. Good copy makes money.
Ooh, that's
so
juicy.
It is one of the things in your business that will probably give you the fastest return on investment, right? The other thing being sales training. Hello.
Well, what's so beautiful about writing is that it's like marketing and selling at the same time, which is the very reason we use Guide Culture in our copy. And it just all works together so beautifully to sell for you while you're off having conversations and doing other things in your business.
I mean, eventually you don't have to have those conversations, right? If you don't want to.
Yes.
you can set up, from someone not knowing anything about you, clicking on an ad to, yes, I'm in. I have totally signed up for your product and I'm your biggest fan.
Mm.
And that comes from the ad, something that y'all mentioned, and I just want to make sure it's clear, like the email sequence, which takes them from, I don't know who you are yet, to wait, we're best friends. How do I buy?
Right.
Yeah, it's email. It's actually a lot of different modalities. And that's copy. When you think about copy, you think, okay, it's words, but it's words in a video that you're talking, mm-hmm. That you've recorded for someone. It's words in a podcast. It's words in an article. It's words in an infographic, like the playbook that we created together.
Yeah.
Right. You can reach people in a lot of different ways, and that is all copy, and it's all really, really powerful.
Yeah. Wow. And Danielle, you saying like, hey, you could have a person that clicks on an ad and then ends up learning all about you and buying from a couple of clicks. That sounds like a dream come true. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, just evergreen everything, like hashtag goals. What I've learned from you is you have to trial and error everything. I feel like anytime I ask you a question, your answer is you have to test it. And you're so right, though. You're so right. You have to test everything. And, so many times we see people who are like, hey, this is like the finish line that I want to have. But the process is so much just trial and erroring.
It really, really is. And I mean, the evergreen funnel is kind of like referred to the holy grail of marketing,
right?
It's the thing that everyone wants, and it's harder than you think to get there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, what were you saying about having someone click and...
Well, you were saying, you know, you could get to a place where, you know, you have an ad, someone clicks, and then they just get to know you and buy without even really having to get on a call with you. That's like the dream. But, you know, it takes time to be able to get the words right and to make sure the story, you know, hits well and the offer lands well. All of those things, it just takes so much time, and it's a long game process.
It's a long game for sure. Yeah. And it's testing. It's all about creating feedback loops. So right. It's put something out there, get a response from your audience, because we are in our own heads so much.
Yeah.
Like we think, okay, this is awesome. This is great. This looks amazing. We don't see the blind spots.
Right.
So it's all about putting it out to your audience, getting feedback, tweaking, testing, and not making assumptions, because,
yes,
you know, you assume, okay, this one is definitely going to win and this one's definitely not. And you put it out there as a split test and you're surprised by the results. And this happens to, you know, experienced marketers, eight-figure businesses, like, mm-hmm, you know, I've been behind the scenes on a lot of them and there are always surprises. And yeah, they know that there's no shortcut around just testing it.
Wow. I think that's going to be really, again, like comforting for people, because I know you're not on Instagram, but what you see a lot on Instagram, Danielle, is, you know, the dream of like, hey, I go on vacation and my business runs in the background and I'm like making all this money without even really having to touch it.
No.
Which is not, it's really, it takes like, you know, it takes so much work to be able to even maybe have a point of that. So hearing that from an expert who's like, hey, I'm behind the scenes of eight-figure businesses and everybody is in the grind and they're testing and they don't have it figured out. And that doesn't exempt you. We're all kind of in the same game.
For sure. And one thing that I will say about, if you're serious about testing and learning and evolving and getting to that point, one of the best things you can do is keep track of what you've tested. Yes. And go back and learn from it. So have a spreadsheet with every single email that you have sent. Mm-hmm. If you're split testing subject lines, record the results of those split tests. If you put out, let's say, a Facebook post or an Instagram post and you are intentional about the headline that you're using, oh, I want to try this angle and see if it works better than this angle, pay attention to the results and look back and see what happened. Because, you know, some people are like, oh, I'll try that, I'll try this. And then the follow-up, because you're always so busy that it's hard to go back and follow up and pull those stats. But that is actually the thing, the feedback loop that's going to create the results, is when you learn from what you've tested. So for example, if you have a whole long spreadsheet of email subject lines and you sort it so that you've got the top 10, let's say, look at what they have in common. Mm. Look for the patterns. And then you know, okay, those subject lines, those types of subject lines work really well.
Yeah. You even are having us test like with emoji, without emoji, mm-hmm, with like the littlest things that you wouldn't think matter. I've learned from you, they do.
They do. And sometimes they don't. You know, sometimes you won't see a difference in open rate. It won't make a difference. But sometimes something as small as button color or changing, mm-hmm, one word on a button on a page can make a huge, huge difference in your results.
Wow. It's just crazy. There's so many pieces. And that's why, you know, and also like you said, the follow-up of really tracking, that's also a great piece. Part of the mentor is where they're like, hey, let me see the results.
Yeah. And, accountability. You
know, right. A level of accountability that is just so invaluable.
You just want to keep moving forward.
Yeah.
You're just like, no, okay, next thing, next thing, next thing. And circling back and getting that information is, there's gold in that.
So much gold. Incredible. Danielle, you are such a gem. You're a hidden gem, hidden from the Instagram world. And I want people to be able to find you very, very easily. So what is the best place for people to find you and to connect with you?
Best place, you can find me on Facebook. You can find me on LinkedIn. You can go and get on my email list at dwcopy.com/GC.
That's so, what you guys need to do. You need to go read her emails.
Go over there. Yeah. Because I email generally about once a week. I will not spam your inbox. But I give a lot of great tips on there too. So you want to sign up.
We'll put all of that in the show notes. We'll put the link to your resource for them, your email, and then your Facebook and LinkedIn link.
Awesome.
Danielle, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. You gave so much good information, so much value, and I hope you all go and find her and read her stuff and learn from her. And of course, reach out to her if you are interested in working with her. She has the Guide Culture stamp of approval. That is for sure.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
Thanks, Danielle.
Hi, Danielle. So thankful for you.